On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Hey, Fabian, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm a bit croaky, but I'm otherwise good.
Is Mikey sick?
Mikey is away today. It's all right. He cleared it with the big bosses. It's fine. He got a pass.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, no, I'm not in Hollywood today. I'm in Chicago today, but I still know a lot about movies, I'll tell you that much.
I think that's well established. How come you're in Chicago?
I'm doing a set visit for an upcoming TV show that hasn't started yet, and I had to sign an embargo, so I can't tell you what it is, unfortunately.
That's fair.
But it's very exciting.
You're just proving your credentials as our man on the ground in media-related things.
Yes.
Well, thanks for that, Fabian. What would you like to talk about today? What have you been seeing?
Well, it's funny. There's two big blockbusters out today, and both of them make you think about things like how do cars go to the toilet and stuff like that. One of them is Transformers The Last Knight. The other one is Cars 3, both of which imply all sorts of anthropomorphic attitudes about automobiles that neither film can satisfactorily answer. But
that's a really good point.
Both of them...
I don't know. Do they just excrete through their exhaust pipes? Is that going to the bathroom?
Well, in the Transformers films, you see more and more when they get injured, as the films have gone on, that this green slime comes out like it's their blood or something. So maybe, based on that rationale, I think their piss must be some other kind of lubricant, I imagine.
Yeah, sure.
But in the Cars franchise, the implications are kind of horrific. People have been discussing this on the internet a bit, and that they make reference to things like World War II, which implies that there's a Cars Hitler, and
wow.
And there's things like cars get inside cars and then they drive around, and which of the cars are like the sentient ones. It's all very horrific, but I'm taking these films too seriously.
I always find that stuff really weird when you have food ads in particular, and you've got a dancing yogurt pottle that ends up eating yogurt, and you go, that, if you follow that to its logical conclusion, that's cannibalism. What are you up to?
Yeah. It's a very similar situation here, but best not think too much with either of these films, I think.
Is that
the
a theme?
The Cars franchise.
Is that a theme?
Yeah,
both
I think
films?
So.
Don't think too much.
No, yeah, that is definitely the theme here. The Cars franchise has never been very popular with people over 7 years old. It's where Pixar makes the vast majority of their licensing money, though,
yeah,
with toys and stuff. So it's ensured its survival as a franchise. To say that Cars 3 is the best of the three is not saying a huge amount, but it is.
It is
and,
the best of the three.
Yes, but I say that's a very low bar.
I know. I know a very small human who absolutely adores cars. So I guess that's the target audience,
well, yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And while the other Pixar films do a great job of catering to audiences of all ages, the Cars films do skew pretty young.
Right.
And I kind of was watching this, and I felt some emotions throughout it, which I think is an achievement.
Were they understandable emotions?
The whole,
could you classify them? Were you okay?
It was uncontrollable rage.
Nice.
No, it wasn't that at all. I did kind of care about the main car, Lightning McQueen, voiced by Owen Wilson. And this film sort of about him getting outshone by a hot new car and then sort of learning to understand his limits, etc. I can barely recall what happened. Good for the kiddies, pretty bog standard that for the grown-ups. And the Transformers movies, like, this is the fifth one that's just come out, The Last Knight, and people have been kind of scratching their heads about what these films want to achieve for quite a while now. They're giant, epic action that
hardly
ever feels physically comprehensible, you know? I'm a sucker for action, epic scale, big, shallow craziness, of which these films are stuffed, but there's just something about the way Michael Bay cuts together his action scenes. They just lack impact, despite all the ostensible impact being portrayed. And that's definitely the case here. There's big, crazy, sun-drenched insanity flying left, right, and center, but none of it makes a huge amount of geographic or spatial sense. That said, like Cars 3, I almost think this might be the most enjoyable Transformers since the first one, but again, very, very low bar here. It's not a good film. Anthony Hopkins, he classes up anything, and he shows up in this film and calls Mark Wahlberg dude at one point, and I shook my head silently in the theatre.
Does it come out of his mouth and fall flat on the floor?
A little bit, although they do kind of make a point out of it that he's kind of like pandering to Mark Wahlberg. A lot of this one takes place in England. They've organised it so King Arthur used to hang out with Transformers, in case you didn't know that.
What?
And they also were, and to bring Hitler into it again, you find out that that little Transformer actually killed Hitler.
Of course.
Which is kind of shallow and kind of brutal. But yeah, some actions, okay. There's actually a character in this that I like. Anthony Hopkins has a fussy robot butler named Cogman, who's voiced by Jim Carter, who's the main butler on Downton Abbey.
Right.
And, of course, also famously played Deja Vu in the 80s comedy Top Secret. But so there's this fussy robot butler running around, and you're like, okay, so they've got their own C-3PO.
Is it kind of like, C-3PO crossed with the fussy butler from the Jetsons?
Yeah, and then this other Transformer turns up and goes, hey, who's the C-3PO ripoff? They're like, oh, okay, well, at least they knew they were ripping it off.
Yeah, you got to hail it, right?
But I actually kind of liked Cogman, and but by the time the main characters are like stealing a dry dock submarine and somehow getting it into the water in a way that's never addressed, I was pretty tuned out of the stakes of this film.
Right.
And festering in my mind about Mark Wahlberg's haircut, which is kind of like on its way to mullet town, but not quite there, and just very annoying.
His haircut was the most annoying thing.
If you can't remember either, he plays a freaking inventor, like a really smart guy in these. Mark Wahlberg does not scream inventor. What inventor has 6 hours a day to spend at the gym to look like Mark Wahlberg?
This is a point.
Anyway, yeah.
So
I didn't hate this film as much as Dan Rutledge, apparently.
Yeah,
but I just read his review on Flix.
It's pretty amazing. For listeners out there, I'm just going to read you the title of Dan Rutledge, friend of the show. His review of Transformers 5, the title is, Transformers The Last Night has barely a trace of wit, charm, or fun. And then he closes out with, and yet it'll make millions upon millions. Cool world.
Yeah. Picturing Dan watching that film, I'm picturing his head in his hands. And he's just kind of like, But he had a good point in his review where he says these films aren't bad quality, they're anti-quality, which I think is quite an interesting thing to say, because there's so much effort and so much time and energy put into something that just never coheres and never kind of makes you pump your fist in the way the film obviously wants you to. And that said, Cogman has a few funny lines, and there's a bit where he launches himself out of a torpedo tube in a submarine and goes and gets a couple of tuna and then comes back to the submarine and cooks up a romantic dinner for Mark Wahlberg and a British actor that they've made up and lit to look like Megan Fox.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, can you give us the definitive... Mark Wahlberg or Shia LaBeouf? Who's more annoying?
Oh, boy. Gosh, that's a tough one. neither of them have any, you know, they're as annoying each other. Neither of them makes me nostalgic for the other one. But, you know, if someone had said everything about The Last Night to me that I just said, I would still go see it. Because I'm a big, ridiculous movie completist. So I'm not telling anyone not to see it, but just the whole world kind of shrugs at these movies. And it's insane that there's been five of them and that something so epically huge just can have no emotional or even kind of aesthetic impact whatsoever.
No through line. But, and yet, as you both say, they make millions upon millions. And they've been growing in box office take, haven't they, as they've been going along?
Yeah. But, I mean, again, they're kids' films. I don't think it's a sign that humanity is doomed that we make these films successful. I didn't quite have my head in my hands like Dan, but I completely relate to his perspective.
If you do wish to watch him put his head in his hands, I do believe there's a video of him talking about the film on News Hub, which is quite good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to look it up.
Thank you so much.
Good old Dan.
Thank you so much, Fabian. Thank you for bringing us the news. Enjoy Chicago, and maybe one day in the future you can, post-embargo, let us in on what you've been doing.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sarah. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.